matter if you were dead and you're alive now. Isn't that great?
I mean, can't you just...
I mean, the thing about it is, you know, these people believe that stuff. I mean, they're seeing it. I mean, they're into it. They're just, you know, they're just, I'm telling you, the trumpet is ready. It's in the hands of Jesus. Watch the TV. Watch the Middle East. He's coming. Huh? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know why this reminds me of this. The Lord knows these people are extremely talented. But somebody here a couple weeks ago reminded me and asked me about it. Did you? Just forgot all about it. I know Larry has forgot all about it. But you may remember at Christmas time, Ricky Hauser came and stayed about 7-8 days with us. And Matthew came into town. These two met for the first time. And hit it right off. And obviously we knew that they would because they think on the same lines and everything else. And I had the privilege of one day bringing them over here to church. And Monica couldn't come, and she said, "Will you just try to film a little bit of it?" And Ricky sat right here, and Matthew went to the piano. They invited Mike, but I don't know what you were doing, Michael. You couldn't come.
I think I met up with him afterwards, actually.
Yeah, maybe you did meet up with him afterwards. But Michael's in the same category, both of these guys. He's all about that guitar, believe me. We all know that more than playing guitar. But for 3 hours, they sat here, and all they did was sing, goof off. No music in front of them, no words in front of them. And they sung for 3 hours, everything you wanted to mention, the Christmas music, gospel music, 50s music, 70s music. And I mean, it was just, I was privileged to just sit here and watch these two kids, for the kids to be. Just sat there and absolutely have a ball. Well, I got about 20, 25 minutes of that on film before my phone went down. Well, Larry says, and I put it on my computer, he says, "Well, I need to come to your house and pull that off and come and let you guys watch what they call themselves Hodge and Hauser. At least 20 or 25 minutes of these two sitting down and just being themselves. I want to tell you something, you're going to like it. Nothing special about it. That sometimes they didn't know the words or they just made up the words. But it was just a very impromptu thing. And one of these days, Larry, we've got to pull that off my computer so you can bring it over here and let you see it. And I forgot, Ricky's going with us too, isn't he? He just invited himself. He called us and he said, "What are y'all doing and how's Stephanie doing and whatever?" And I said, "Well, we're all excited." At that time, we just found out that the doctor had given the okay for Stephanie to go. We didn't know whether he would give the okay or she would give the okay for Stephanie to go to Florida. And she said, "See, the problem with it," said, "no, you can't go to Disney, you can't get around large crowds," but said, "you know, and don't swim when there's a bunch of people out there. Maybe go swimming at night, go walking on the beach at night when there's less people. But, you know, if you use some common sense, you can go." Well, about 2 or 3 days after we had made these plans, Hauser calls, checks on her. He says, "What are y'all doing?" I said, "Oh, we're just making plans to go to Florida." He said, "Well, when y'all going?" I said, "Well, what do you want to go for?" "Oh, I don't know. When you going, Poppy? When you going to Florida?" I said, "Well, we're leaving on Friday before Memorial weekend." And I said, "We'll be back the following Sunday. We're going to be down about 8 or 9 days. He said, "Well, let me put you on hold just for a moment." About that time, Monica walks in. And she said, "Look, Professor, I'm talking to Ricky. I don't even know how long he's going to Florida. He put me on hold." And he said, "I bet you he's looking to see if he's showed us going on here that week. He's going to go with us." So he comes back. He says, "Guess what, Poppy?" I said, "What?" He said, "I'm coming with you." I said, "Well, number one, you ain't been invited." And then, of course, then Mama gets on and thought, "Oh, honey, come on, you can come. What's one more? You know, we'll let you sleep on the toilet or somewhere, you know, come on." And, yeah, what? No. Yeah, Mama, yeah, come on, Sandy, we'll have a good time. Yeah, oh, if you bring the fun, yeah. Yeah, but don't bring the anyway, so he's going to drive down, meet us down there. He's going to be there the whole time. He's coming down for about 4 or 5 days. Spend some time with us too, so whatever. Anyway, we're looking forward to it. So, all right.
What do you want to know for? It's going to be good.
Jimmy, you welcome. You want to go
Where are you going?
We're going to Ormond Beach.
Listen,
I got a sermon to preach. I ain't got all day to talk about that nonsense. I just brought that up to make a point. All right, now, let's talk about something. And we're going back to God's survival guide. I don't know how many people have told me how much they have enjoyed this book. This writer is fabulous. Now, we're going to talk about a subject today that every one of you has to deal with. All right? And here's what it is. Anybody here perfect? Anybody here perfect? No, Larry. You said Larry. Someone said, no. No. I didn't say there's anybody here guilty. I said there's anybody here, you know, perfect. No, anybody perfect? Anybody perfect? Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody says the wrong thing. Everybody's done the wrong thing. We've all been there. We all know how it goes. If you've been married, if you've got family, the people you work with, the people you go to church with, even people you may not even know that well, has to deal with this subject. And Jesus has some pretty strong language about this particular subject. Now this writer, and I've said this many times, he is a psychiatrist, and he's also a pastor. Good combination. As he writes about this subject, are you ready? Forgiveness. The hardest thing on this planet to do is to forgive. And yet Jesus has a whole lot to say about it. You ready to take the journey with me? Say amen. Alright, here we go. The subject's called forgiveness. The writer says, life would be much simpler if we could forgive people once and for all and be done with it. But forgiveness is seldom that easy. For most of us, the decision to forgive is straightforward. But the process of forgiving is more difficult. Forgiveness is a journey. Listen to this closely. Forgiveness is a journey that requires effort, time, perseverance, and prayer. Let me read that one more time. Forgiveness is a journey that requires four things. Number one, effort. Number two, time. Number three, perseverance. Number four, prayer. You agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Forgiveness is seldom easy. You've got that right. But it is always right. When we forgive those who have hurt us, we honor God by obeying His commandments. But when we harbor bitterness, bitterness against others, we disobey God with unhappy results. Every one of us has been here. We know what this means. Sometimes it's not the other guy that you need to forgive, it's yourself. I say this all the time. It's very hard to forgive others. But I think the hardest thing of all is to forgive me. I really do. I think the hardest thing in this world is for me to forgive myself. Now believe me, it's not easy to forgive other people, especially if the hurt goes pretty deep. But some of the stupid stuff I've done, it's really hard for me to forgive me sometimes. You agree with that? Give a little hand of applause. If you've made mistakes, and who among us hasn't, perhaps you're continuing to bear a grudge against a person in the mirror. Apologize for the cough, guys. If so, here is a three-step process for resolving those feelings. I want you to listen very closely to this. This is good. Stop the harmful behavior that is the source of your self-direct anger. Number two, seek forgiveness from God and from any person you may have hurt. Number three, ask God to cleanse your heart of all bitterness and regret, and keep asking Him until He comes. Number three, bitterness. Whether I'm bitter against myself or I'm bitter against somebody else, when it really gets right down to it, and listen to me very closely, the only one you're hurting is yourself. Because people move on. They go on, whether they hurt you or not. People go on. They move on with their lives. If you can't figure out a way to get rid of that, if you haven't prayed about it enough, if you haven't asked God, or if you haven't gone and asked for forgiveness yourself from that person, once you've exhausted every alibi that there is to take care of this situation, you've got to say, God, it's in your hands, and let it go. And that advice is free. Give a little hand of applause. I'm not saying it's easy. Lord knows it's not easy. It's never easy for me, and it's never easy for you. But if you want a quality of life, you have to learn to forgive yourself and to forgive other people. It's the only way to get through life. Are you easily frustrated by your shortcomings? Well, sure you are. How many of you have shortcomings? Well, everybody does. Well, sure we do. We get aggravated at ourselves. We get aggravated in a lot of stuff we do. And the older we get, the worse we get. Huh? Come on, you know that? I mean, the stuff that I can remember when I was 30. I couldn't remember when I was 35. And Lord, now, this coming week, let me tell you how old Alice Hawkins is going to be. See, my secretary and I have a birthday one day apart, 24 hours apart. We're both Taurus. That's why we get along for 20-something years. We've got along. But this coming Wednesday, I'm going to be 59 years old. And I'm going to tell you the truth. In a lot of ways, I feel better than I did when I was 59. Really, I do. Now, I go through a lot. You know, everybody knows my journey. Know what I go through, but losing the weight helped me tremendously. And when I get up, when I have a good night, I'm thankful for it. When I get up and my feet hit the floor, I don't complain no more. I'm thankful I've got a day in life to do something. Because when you come close to death, we begin to appreciate life. And that's what we have to learn to do. We have to learn. And the sooner we do it, the better your life will be. Are you a prisoner of bitterness or regret? If so, perhaps you need a refresher course in the art of forgiveness. If you are imprisoned by the chains of anger and bitterness, and it really is a prison, the time to embark upon a journey of forgiveness, if today is the day to embark upon. You begin that journey by redirecting your thoughts and your prayers. Listen to this closely. If you sincerely wish to forgive someone, number one is what you do. Pray for that person. Now, this is when it gets very humbling. I'm mad at somebody, they had a gun, I might shoot them. I don't like what they said to me, I don't like what they did to me. And then here's what it really gets me. I don't care what you do to me, don't touch my family. Now, when someone does something to your family, then you really want to do something, don't you? Huh? That's what you want to do. You're there to protect. You say something against my child, you've got to come through me. Now, if I want to kill him, I got the right. I brought him in the world, I'll kill him. Nobody else better not touch him. You understand that? I mean, that's how we are, okay? But the first step to healing is when you learn to pray for somebody. If you're so mad at you, you can just pray for them. Because when you pray for them, you're actually praying for yourself. So when you can learn this, let me tell you something, folks, this is famous. Is to say, listen, Lord, you know how mad I am at this particular person. But Father, I don't need this. I need to let it go. So Father, I'm going to give my praying for them, and I'm going to pray for me. Remove this. Remove this bitterness. Remove this hurt. Get it off my chest. Get it out of my heart. Let me move on. And when I see this person, let me hug them. Let me understand that no matter what they've done, I'm not going to let that affect me for the rest of my life. So, Father, I pray for them, and I pray for me. Forgive me so I can forgive them. And let me tell you something. When you feel that forgiveness from God, you'd be surprised what you can forgive. Give the Lord a hand of applause. If you sincerely wish to forgive someone, pray for that person. And then pray for yourself by asking God to heal your heart. It is healing. Some people would rather have physical pain than emotional pain. I would. Give me physical pain most any time. I'll learn to deal with that. But emotional pain goes in the soul. And that hurts. And you got to learn to heal it. And sometimes the only person who can heal it is Jesus. Jesus. Don't expect forgiveness to be easy or quick. Rest assured, with God as your partner, you can forgive, and you will. With the help of Jesus, you can forgive, and you will. Give the Lord a hand of applause. When I show you this scripture, really see Jesus is doing the talking here. Just show you how serious forgiveness is. Okay, Larry, here we go. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, let me tell you something. In the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew it's almost a summary of the entire Bible of what Jesus is about. Look what he says. For if you forgive men their sins, trespasses back toward Satan's sin, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you choose not to forgive a person, a man, a woman, a child of your sin, neither will your Father forgive you. Am I reading that right? Can you read that for yourself? This is treacherous ground. When we're to a point that we're so better than anybody else, I choose not to forgive you, you better watch the ground you're walking on here. Okay, let me tell you something, that's pretty serious there. Because when Jesus was on that cross, you know what he said, don't you? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't have a clue what they're doing. Sometimes people hurt us and don't know it. Some people do hurt us and sometimes they do know it. But understand this one thing. Jesus is all about relationships. And he said, you're not going to have a relationship with somebody that you can't learn to forgive. that may not mean you don't hang out with them all the time. May not mean that they're your best friends. But you better learn somewhere and find a way to get in your heart to forgive. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for you. He said, Roger, anything that you do in your lifetime, I'm willing to forgive you for if you'll ask for it. And that's because people are going to hurt you in life. You can't run from that. You know that. Most of you that's lived in life at all, you know that. And somebody's going to hurt you probably tomorrow. It's the world we live in today because so much people are under so much pressure. And the pressure that people's on, people react in ways that are crazy. And then take just a little button to push and people are all running. So we come to understand this one thing. If you're going to open your mouth, try to watch what you do and try to watch what you say. And when you make a mistake, you own up to it. And you ask for forgiveness. Now, if you haven't done anything wrong, there's no sense asking for forgiveness. But if you have, then you do. You let God be your conscience and you ask for forgiveness. Now, if they won't forgive you, that's their problem. That's your problem from that point on. That's their problem. That's your problem. Once you've tried to make it right, Jesus is on your side. But understand, folks, we have to learn to forgive. Pretty serious stuff. Because he says, if you don't do it, don't come looking to me for forgiveness. Wouldn't that be horrible to say, when you meet Jesus one day, depart from me for I never knew you? Why, Jesus? You never learn how to forgive. Horrible. Let's act like we got some sense. Everybody agree? What do you think? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Is there any head bowed? Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, God's grace and mercy is wonderful. We need that this hour. Father, we need your forgiveness today. Father, we need for you to forgive us of our sins. We need to be humble enough to ask you for that. Father, help us in life as we live out our lives. That we can treat others the way we want to be treated. And that, Father, we're willing to show some grace when we can, and that we're willing to forgive. The world is tough. People are under a lot of pressure. But nobody was under as much pressure as you was on that cross. You looked down at those men who nailed you on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. And if you can do that, if your spirit is in with us, we can forgive too. Father, give us grace amongst our people and our church. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you need a quiet time, this altar would want you to come. For something you need me to pray with you about, I would enjoy that. But would you come?